What if I stop trusting? You won't. He'll keep you. What if I fall into sin? You might, but he'll restore you. There'd be hard times, but he'll be with you, and the Holy Spirit will be praying for you. You may have doubts, but he'll confirm your faith. There'll be battles, but he'll do marvelous things, and he'll win those battles for you. You might drift away, but the Good Shepherd will always pursue you and bring you back. You're safe. You're eternally safe. Turning back to Paul's letter to the Romans, coming to the end of chapter 8, where Paul is giving us help to be able to face whatever hardships come our way without quitting. And he's made the most incredible statement. He said in verse 28, "All things work together for good to those who love God." What an encouragement to press on and persevere. Everything that happens everywhere, even the worst things, everything is totally under God's control, and it is all working for your eternal good. Not suffering. It's God's very best for you. There is no better way. All things work together for good to those who love God. This is incredible, isn't it? What led Paul to make a bold statement like that? How could he be so sure? Well, that's exactly what he tells us in verses 29 and 30. We started to look at them last time we were together, and we're coming back to them this morning. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for or because whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What have we learned so far? Let me just briefly remind you. We've learned what it means to be called by God. When God calls you to himself, he does everything. He has to, because there's nothing you can do to help yourself. You're dead in your sin, you see. So God brings you to hear the gospel, and at the same time, he does an amazing miracle. He causes you to be born again and gives you a new heart so that you can now respond and hear with faith. In fact, he sees to it that you do. When God calls you, it's a done deal. We've learned that the people God calls have been chosen by him. He made up his mind to call them before time began. And we've learned that he chose them because he foreknew them. He set his love upon them ahead of time. He entered into and committed himself to a relationship with them way back before time even began, before they were ever heard of, let alone able to do anything to make themselves lovable. We've learned that he loved them and chose them to be saved, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, according to the good pleasure of his will. He made the choice, and it was entirely his choice. Nothing outside of him influenced it. He chose us for his own purpose. That's what we've learned from verses 29 and 30 so far. And now we're going to go back to them this morning to see what God's purpose was in choosing the people he has chosen. But before we do that, just one thing I want you to note. At the end of verse 28, I said we would come back to it. Paul said, "All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." And what I want you to note here is that every Christian is called according to God's purpose. Not just some special group of Christians. Every Christian is called according to God's purpose. In the same way that every Christian, as we said when we looked at verse 28, in the same way that every Christian loves God. And the point I want you to get is that nobody is called and saved by God for any other purpose than the one we're going to find out about this morning. We're all called for the same purpose. So then, what is God's purpose in choosing and calling everyone he saves? Why did God choose and call you? Verse 29, "Whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." God loved you ahead of time. He chose you and determined in advance to make you like Jesus. Now, you've heard that lots of times. God is making you like Jesus. Through the things that happen in your life, good and bad, by his Holy Spirit working within you, God is at work making you like Jesus. You know that, but here Paul is saying this is the very reason God saved you, so that he could make you like Jesus. God is making you like Jesus. I wonder, did you ever sit down and give that a lot of thought? You should. What does it mean? It would be so easy to skim over it with, "Oh, this means God is helping me to be a bit less sinful and a bit more like Jesus, maybe a bit more loving as the days go by." Well, yeah, God does do that. He's been doing it since the day you were saved. And you can see the difference, can't you? I hope you can. And I hope other people can see the difference in you as well. But that's not where it ends. God will not be satisfied with paltry wee changes like the ones you have seen up to now. No, he chose you, Christian, with the intention of going the whole way with you. Perfect holiness, perfect maturity, perfect sinlessness, perfect love, like Jesus. Perfect in every way, like Jesus. That was God's purpose way back when he chose you. And he's not going to settle for anything less. When I think about that, that just blows my mind. I cannot imagine me like Jesus. I'm sure you can't either. What a difference there's going to be. Everything now, everything about me, every thought, even my best thoughts, everything is tainted with sin in some way. And whether you have realized it yet or not, the same is true of you. The more you go on in the Christian life, the more you're going to see it. You're just riddled with sin. I used to think I wasn't doing too bad, you know? Most of the sins sorted, at least the big ones. But now I look at myself and I look more filthy than I ever did. And it's not that I'm more sinful now, because God has been at work on me. It's just that the more God works in your life, the more he has worked in my heart, the more the Holy Spirit makes me aware of just how deep that sin goes in me. I've become more aware of it. And you know, that could drive you to despair if you didn't know that God is committed to finishing the job he has begun. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he is. 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, Now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's why God saved you. That's why he made up his mind to save you way back in eternity past. He picked you out in order to make you like Jesus. That's the reason for it all. Now, why does God want to make us, so many of us, like Jesus? Well, Paul says here, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that, or so that, he might be the firstborn of many brethren. So that Jesus would have lots of brothers. In other words, so that we would all be family. So that God would have lots of children, and so that there could be heirs. Remember verses 16 and 17, we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Jesus will always be the big brother. He'll always be the firstborn. He'll always be chief among us. But even so, we will be joint heirs with him. And God has to make us like Jesus so that that can happen, because God is holy. We could never be his children and heirs if he didn't make us holy like Jesus is. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son so that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. So there it is. God's purpose in choosing and calling everyone who's saved is to make them like Jesus so that they can be his children and heirs, so that one day he can give them the world, perfect, new, glorious world, so that one day they will see his glory and enjoy him forever, so that one day he can give them new and glorious bodies to enjoy it all. That's why God chose you, Christian. Now, do you see the point? Do you see why Paul's telling us this? God, all-powerful, do anything God, entered into a relationship with you way back. He loved you and he chose you with the sole purpose of making you like Jesus so that you could inherit all these amazing things. Do you think there is any chance that it's not going to happen? Don't be daft. And that's the point. There is no way it's not going to happen. Now, Paul wants to be really sure that you've got this, so he has another go at it from a different angle. Moreover, he says, on top of all of that, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, whom he called, these he also justified. Everyone God chose, he called, and everyone he called, he justified. Justified, it just means declared righteous. It means sins forgiven, not guilty. It means saved. Everyone he called, he justified. But look at the next bit. And whom he justified, who he saved, these he also glorified. Glorified, what does that mean? It means made glorious. Remember in verse 18, Paul said, the Spirit himself bears witness that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Back when we looked at those verses, we talked about what it means to be made glorious. Remember how we said that we're going to need new eyes just to look at each other? That's how much the glory of God is going to radiate from you. The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father, Jesus said in Matthew 13. Made glorious. It means to be made like Jesus in every way, the very thing we're talking about. It means when we look at each other, we will see the perfect beauty of the Lord Jesus. We'll look at each other and we'll see the glory of God. It means there's a day coming when we'll have perfect new bodies like Jesus, risen body, perfect holiness, perfect purity, perfect sinlessness like him, perfect love like his, perfect in every way like Jesus, and new bodies to enjoy the glory of God in his glorious new world. That's what it means to be made glorious. It means to come into our inheritance. Those whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, do you remember when we looked at verse 18? I asked you to make a mental note. It's interesting that Paul says there, the sons of God will be revealed. He doesn't say that they will be made glorious, which is what you would expect him to say. He says that they will be revealed. In other words, a veil will be lifted and they will be seen as they already are. And I left you to chew on that, and I said we'd come back to it on another day, and well, this is the day. Because the weird thing here in verse 29 is that Paul is talking about us being glorified in the past tense. He talks about it like it's already done. He does much the same in Ephesians 2. God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? He made us sit together in the heavenly places. It's like we're already there. So what's Paul talking about? Well, I think what's happening here and in Ephesians is that Paul is seeing this the way it looks from God's point of view. God who sits outside of time. God who sees the end from the beginning. In God's mind, everything that's still to happen is already determined and fixed because he has determined and fixed it. When God called you, it was only one part of a complete package of salvation that he had made up his mind to put into effect for you. Calling, justification, glorification. It's all one package that can't be split up. So if God calls you, you're saved. It's a done deal. And if God calls you, just as sure as you're saved, you're glorified. It's as good as done. It's all part of the package. So do you see? There are no dropouts. God called you with the sole purpose of making you like Jesus, so he can bring you into the inheritance he has determined to give you. Do you think there is any possible chance that it's not going to happen? All who are foreknown and predestined are called. All who are called are justified. And all who are justified are as good as glorified already. God has earmarked you for glory, and you will be there. What if I stop trusting? You won't. He'll keep you. What if I fall into sin? You might, but he'll restore you. There'd be hard times, but he'll be with you, and the Holy Spirit will be praying for you. You may have doubts, but he'll confirm your faith. There'd be battles, but he'll do marvelous things and he'll win those battles for you. You might drift away, but the Good Shepherd will always pursue you and bring you back. And if you're thinking, does that mean I can live any old way I like? I would say, don't ask dumb questions. Where were you when we looked at chapter 6? You haven't been paying attention. Paul went to great lengths there to knock that one on the head. You won't go on living any old way you like. It's not possible. You can't, because he's given you a new heart that loves him and loves his law to make sure that you won't go on sinning. You're safe. You're eternally safe. That inheritance is yours just as sure as if you are already there. He determined it in eternity past before the foundation of the world. Jude 1 verse 1. You are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 8. The Lord Jesus Christ will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful, who will also do it. And that's how Paul was able to say, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Because whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. God has set his love upon you in eternity past. He has declared that his purpose is to bring you to glory. His purpose is your eternal happiness and your greatest good. And everything that happens along the way is working towards that end. Nothing can get in the way of God's eternal purpose. You trust him? When the bad stuff happens, do you still trust him? And when the truly horrendous stuff happens, will you still trust him? And will you stay faithful? Will you face that suffering and stay faithful to Jesus? Will you suffer with him? All things work together to good for those who love God. If you're not saved, if you don't love God, of course, there's no such promise for you. And that's a scary thing, because it means that the world out there for you is a dangerous and uncertain place. You can kid yourself that you have everything under control, but you don't know what's going to happen when you go out the door at the end of the service. I don't know either. But I do know that whatever happens to me, it will be working for my eternal happiness. And whatever happens, I wouldn't have it any other way. Wouldn't it be good to have that kind of confidence? And of course, those of us who are believers do. And if you're not a believer, you can be, because as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Let's pray. Father, what an amazing chapter this is in your word. So many words of comfort and reassurance. Help us, Lord, as we think about these things, to get a real grip on them and to be so convinced that nothing can shake our hold on the promises that you have given to us here, so that we might continue to be faithful to the Lord Jesus, whatever comes our way. We pray in his name. Amen.